Good evening, members, members of the public, everyone. Welcome to this evening's meeting of the North West Area Planning Committee. First item is Chairman's notices. They are on the agenda, but briefly, the Council records any part of this meeting held in open session. That will be published on the Council's website. I'm making the appropriate announcement now. And if you attend as a member of the public with a view to speaking, you are deemed to be giving your permission to be included. Next one is fire. In the event of a fire, a siren will sound. Please use the exits marked with the green signs. Health and safety. Please be advised of the different levels of flooring within the chamber. There are steps actually practically everywhere. And meetings held in this chamber are being monitored and recorded by CCTV. Item two is apologies for absence.
Apologies for absence has been received from Councillor Durham, Councillor Keyes and Councillor St Joseph.
Thank you. So item three, minutes of the last meeting. Members, can I take these as... Read, Mrs Channer.
I'm afraid not, Madam Chairman. I'm afraid there were two of me at the last meeting.
So there were.
I was ex officio and on the normal committee, Madam Chairman. I think that might have upset a few people if they thought there were two of me. So it was only one. Thank you.
Thank you. Well spotted, Mrs Channer. Okay, so there, with that exception, they're agreed, members? Yeah, okay. Right, item four is disclosure of interest. I have to read this all out, I'm afraid. To disclose the existence and nature of any disclosable pecuniary interests, other pecuniary interests or non-pecuniary interests relating to items of business on the agenda having regard to paragraph 6 to 8 inclusive of the Code of Conduct for members. And members are reminded they're also required to disclose any such interests as soon as they become aware should the need arise through the meeting. I'll start with Mrs. Channer, if I may, as we usually do. Councillor Mrs. Channer.
Thank you, Madam Chairman. My normal one, non-pecuniary, I'm also a member of Essex County Council, which is consulted on matters of planning applications, and especially with regard to highway matters, including access and education. So anything really pertinent to Essex, they get consulted on through the application process.
Thank you. Councillor Bass.
Thank you, Madam Chairman. Item six, as in the previous case, I live quite close to this, therefore I declare a personal interest and I give notice I won't be voting.
Thank you. So moving on to item five, which is land north of Maypole Hall, Maypole Road, Great Totham. There is an objector to speak, that's Mrs. Dobie. That will follow the presentation, so if we could have the officer presentation, please.
Thank you, Chairman. Good evening, members. The application that's presented in front of you this evening, item five, is for the proposed single-storey two-bed annex to be sited here. I'll be putting through more slides. The annex will be used incidental to the main dwelling house, and also the proposal includes the change of use of the land to garden land. Here we have the aerial photo of the site. This is Maypole Hall, and the White House is on this here. It fronts and backs onto open land, and to the north of the site is the riding school. And the proposed annex is to be sited approximately here. Here we have the block plan of the site. And here we have the orange shows the annex, the attached annex, and it's located some 40 metres away to the northwest of Maypole Hall. Here we have the elevational drawings of the annex, and the floor plan shows it's a self-contained annex with two bed, and you've got the kitchen, living room, utility room and bathroom. And here we have more elevational drawings of the annex. And this picture shows the relationship of the annex and the house. And there's a street scene, the rear and front elevation of the annex and the house. Here we have site photos within the site and the annex to be located approximately here. Uh, It's considered that the proposal, as shown to members earlier, the provision of the self-contained annex with two beds, kitchen, living room, dining room and utility room goes beyond the functional needs of the occupier and is in effect would represent a self-contained unit of accommodation. Further, the sprawl of the built form development and the domestic paraphernalia that would result from this development would detract from the character and appearance of the rural area, and as such it's been recommended for a refusal as set out in the agenda. Thank you, Chairman.
Thank you. So, Mrs. Dobie, if you'd like to come forward, pick any seat. Please make yourself comfortable. Do use the microphone. There's just a button there. You have 2 minutes precisely from when you begin to speak, so when you're ready. Thank you.
Thank you. I'm representing Debbie Marvin, who's the proprietor of Marvin's Riding School, Riding Stables. Her stables border the site. You saw a photo earlier showing the sand schools absolutely bang on the edge of the site. The advice you circulated to participants very helpfully did state that the impact on neighbouring property was a planning issue, and that's what I want to talk to you about today. People living on the edge of those sand schools would obviously make a noise. They open doors, they play music, they rev cars. That's going to distract the horses, it may unnerve them, it may unseat the riders, unfortunately. The effect of construction would be even worse. That would spook the horses. It would render those sand schools that you saw in the photograph useless. It would be impossible to give lessons there. It would be impossible to exercise your horses while the bustle was going on just on the edge of the sand schools. This would threaten the business, and of course, Debbie Marvin would then have to consider what would happen to the animals. That's the impact on the neighbouring property of this development, and it's for that reason that I urge you to reject the application, to accept the recommendation. Thank you for letting me speak.
Thank you. If you could please turn off. So, members, you're the only ward member here, Councillor Sismi.
Yeah, thank you. It was actually Councillor Keyes who called this in, and I'm not sure why he hasn't told me why he's not here this evening, so it's not overly helpful. I have to say, for clarification, because I'm a little bit confused about the site here, because I thought the whole point of the red area of the site was that that is what's currently the dwelling and its and its curtilage. But I think you were saying that actually, so is this to go on the blue site or actually within the, it's to go within the red site, I take it, and the blue site is other land that they own. But I'm not clear where in that red site it is and what within that red site is currently curtilage and what is actually agricultural land.
Through you, Chairman. The application is this area of land here to be changed into residential garden, and the annex is going to be positioned approximately here within the site.
Okay, so essentially the garden is currently just that straight rectangle almost, and then the smaller rectangle is being added to the side. That makes sense.
So that's...
I don't have a problem with annexes that are remote per se, and certainly when it comes to large houses it makes sense for them to be remote rather than necessarily part of the house itself. I don't have a problem particularly with the size of the annex either, because again, if you've got an annex relating to a large house, then the annex is likely to be made more than modest. I think having it actually in the agricultural land is potentially a problem, though, because that is then essentially putting a new property on land which is currently agricultural, and that is quite strongly against our policies. I note the comments about the building, but that's not, the building taking place is not a planning consideration. Obviously, the building being there in perpetuity is, and that may be a factor in terms of how close it is to the boundary and so forth. But certainly, I think the biggest issue I'd have with it is not the annex per se, not the size of the annex, but actually the sighting of it on agricultural land. So for that reason, I think the officers have probably made the right decision, but interested to hear what other members have got to say.
Thank you. I'll spot Ms. White first. Councillor Ms. White.
Thank you, Madam Chairman. I would absolutely agree with what my fellow councillor has said and about the location being a cultural land. But not only is it it is going to be a problem being so close to a riding school and a livery yard. But we're also forgetting what the livery yard would cause effectively on the residents of the house, because it will be dusty. Riding schools are inherently dusty, and it will be really noisy, because when you get loud people like me, because I'm a qualified instructor, shouting at children, it's not quiet. So this is something that the residents would have to thoroughly put up with. And you're going to have children laughing and running around, and I just think it's a recipe for disaster. If it was linked to the riding school, well, fair enough, they'd be used to it and would put up with it. But to be next door on agricultural land in that location is just ridiculous. It's just silly. And also, when you go through the planning history, all they've wanted is two houses on the site. And I think this is another sneaky way of turning another piece of land into garden to get another separate dwelling. So I think the officers have got it spot on.
Sorry, before I ask Councillor Bass, I didn't raise it as an interest because it's 20 years ago or more, but like you, I'm a qualified riding instructor, and I have in fact taught there as a freelance, so I know the site well, but we haven't had any relationship at all for Doncashire, so it's not relevant as an interest. Councillor Bass.
Thank you, Madam Chairman. I was going to raise the exact point that Councillor Miss White has raised, that it may not be considered by our officers to be a planning consideration that it's so close to the livery yard, but the point about it is that any resident, the first time they moved in, would start to complain about what's going on, and we do have a duty as planners to prevent that happening. Yep. I cannot for the life of me, although I could guess, why this property is located in such an extreme edge of quite a large plot, but what I think Councillor Sismi didn't say was that I understood that our policy on annexes was that effectively they should be almost attached to the house, and what we usually insist on is a glazed partition between the two, so there's a shared central door and then there's two doors either side, and this no way does this meet that requirement that we've always sort of stuck by. They've either got to be very close or actually attached by some means to the property, and I think if we granted this one it would be a serious mistake, and I totally agree with the officer's recommendation.
Thank you. I'm just going to ask Mr. Harrison to comment on the policy.
Evening, councillors. The policy that you've got, I think, specifically in mind of requiring the link and a physical link stems back to the old local plan. That's not as explicitly stated within any current planning policy. We haven't really got a specific policy about annexes. However, where we're coming from is that there should be a degree of subordination and subservience between the buildings. More so in this case visually, because our approach is on the basis that it's too far detached and it appears to be too detached from the host dwelling to reasonably be an appropriate development. If that same building was built closer, then that would probably... It's the same issue, but without the requirement to have that same physical link. In terms of the noise impact, if I could add on that, that's not a reason that we're recommending refusal of the application. We have consulted with the environmental health team and they've not raised an objection on that score.
On that, I mean, if we haven't got a policy, I thought we had some sort of policy that we wouldn't allow planning consent where the occupiers could be subject to future disturbance or I think it's a mistake not to even consider that. I'm saying if you don't want to have it as a reason for refusal, don't have it. But I think we should consider that we've done this before when we said, well, these houses are too close to the road. People won't want to live in them because of the noise. Or they're too close to a junction. People won't want to live in them because of the pollution. And, you know, we have to be careful where we site properties. And I think, you know, as Miss White has confirmed, it is totally the wrong place on this whole site for it to be done. And I cannot see the motive behind it.
I think that's a fair point, Councillor Bass, and I am going to ask Mr. Harrison to speak, but I think the noise has been raised so far in terms of its effect on the riding school rather than vice versa. But like Councillor Miss White, I share a very loud voice, especially in a 10-acre field in a gale, and sit up! So I think there could be considerable disturbance, potentially both ways, but certainly to these, you know, potential residents. So,
Chairman,
should we add that as
it is thought about with all developments, the impact of noise pollution one way or the other, whether that be the occupants of a future residential property or the occupant impact on existing residents by a proposed noise source. In this case, we've consulted the environmental health team and they've raised no objection. We'd struggle to to defend an appeal without an objection from them to back us up. I trust the environmental health guys would have objected if they felt that they could have done. They more often than not do.
Can we put this down as a point for future when something like this comes up that you need to look at both sides? Because this is a really big issue and it should have been flagged up. It shouldn't be left to members to flag it up.
Sorry, Councillor Mrs. Channel.
Thank you, Madam Chairman. I think in a way it's pretty perhaps the two items of coming together, change of use of the agricultural land to garden and the annex there too on the site, yes. And because I don't necessarily have a problem actually with the extension of curtilage into the agricultural land, I declare an interest, I extended my garden. It wasn't it wasn't agricultural land, although at the time I think the authority said it was, but I went for a long case to prove it was ex-garden land. But I don't call that an excessive increase of seeking to extend your curtilage for a property that size. And actually the report states, for all intents and purposes, it looks very much like a garden at the moment. I suspect it's been used as a garden, so perhaps by default it could be claimed as curtilage anyway. Regarding the annex, and I hear what Councillor Bass has said and others, however, we have allowed annexes in the southeast area, which are detached and somewhat of a distance from the host dwelling, not quite to the degree of distance, though, applied here. But that is as I recollect. So I have mixed views on this. I can see why the refusal has been done. Regarding the stables, I hear what the officer said and the report said, actually, that isn't necessarily a planning matter as regarding the stables, although I take on board the comments that Miss White has said. But, you know, I have seen in the past various things appearing in various areas of landscape and otherwise, but I just think perhaps if that annex was nearer, there may have been, reading the report, my interpretation of it, it's the distance that could be an issue. There's the design of the annex is seen to be not an objection, although the bulk and scale of it is, and perhaps too much for something that could be considered an annex. But I'm not sure I'd have applied the two things together.
I spotted Councillor Sisney, then Councillor Bamford.
I was just going to say to Councillor Challen's point that I have some sympathy with part of that, which is that I think there are reasons sometimes why agricultural land can be turned into garden land, particularly when actually the form of the land is quite similar. But I think the issue here isn't just that that's happening, but actually the new dwelling is going on that piece of land as well, simultaneously.
So I'll do the two together.
Exactly, and that's the problem.
Quite so. Councillor Ms. Bamford.
Thank you, Madam Chairman. I really just wanted to commend, really, Great Totton Parish Council, because they seem to have made a very good objection here, almost identical to our officers, except they have used policies S2 and T1 as well. And I can't see that you've addressed those two policies in your report. I can possibly see why you haven't addressed those. But I just wondered, for clarification for the Parish Council, if there's a main reason why those two policies aren't included in our refusal.
Through you, Chairman, the T1 policy is about transportation and sort of accessibility and sustainability of location of development. Well, if this is an annex, then this is the only location to put it. That's a... And same too with S2, which is strategic growth. They're more; those policies relate more to new development being in sustainable locations rather than what is an annex. I think they've perhaps taken a step beyond it being an annex.
Madam Chairman, this property is not sustainable. Yeah. And the only reason the big house was built because another house was demolished. So we're outside a sustainable area. So the access issue also is that... You know, the access issue is relevant and it should be included.
Well, yes, of which is true, but it isn't a new dwelling.
If we had an application anywhere near this application, it would fail through lack of sustainability, and as Great Totton Parish Council said, it's clearly outside the developed area of the village. It's miles from the centre of Great Totton, really, long way away. So I think we need to just tidy up some of these policies, and if we don't just sort of not bother with them when it is relevant. It is, unless that's covered, the sustainability is covered by another number and letter. Perhaps it's S1, is it? You've got it in that one.
The point on this one mostly is that if this was being proposed as a new dwelling, we'd be refusing it on sustainability grounds happily. Definitely. This is an annex. An annex, by definition, has to be near the host dwelling. There's nowhere exactly else to put it. And well, for the purposes of sustainability, it's within the same plot. And so you couldn't put an annex in a more sustainable location, because then it wouldn't be an annex, it'd be a detached dwelling.
Could I just come back with one other point, Madam Chairman? We see that our friends from Environmental Health have suggested two conditions and five informatives. Could we hear what those informatives are? Conditions are clear in the report, foul water and surface water drainage, but there are five informatives recommended.
For you, Chairman, as Councillor Sismi said, if it was recommended for approval, then they'd appear as part of the recommendation. The informatives on this one relate to refuse and recycling, land contamination, construction restrictions, and then advice in relation to the output from the sewage treatment plants and if it's going into a watercourse. There's a standard informative about that from the SUDS team at County Council. So it's basics.
I think it's time we wrap this particular one up. I was going to put the recommendation. Those in favour of the officer's recommendation to refuse? Okay, thank you. So that item is refused according to the officer's recommendation and report. Thank you. So if the item you were interested in is complete, then please feel free to leave. Right, agenda item six is Maltings Cottage, also Great Totham, as it happens. And we have the agent to speak on this, Ms. Brown, following the officer's report, please.
Thank you, Chairman. The application is located on the southern side of Maypole Road. Here we have the location plan of the site, and this is Malting Cottage. And here we have the aerial view of the Maltings Cottage, and this element will be demolished to facilitate the parking court area, which I'm about to show you members. Here we have the block plan for the proposed development, and this is the Malting building to be retained and refurbished to form 2-3 bed cottage, and in addition there's going to be a garden room attached here. And the central element that was demolished, this will be the parking court area, and then you've got the proposed development around in a courtyard formation. Here we have the ground floor plan of the Malting building. And then you've got there's a small element, a first floor element to the Malting building. And then you've got the ground floor plan of the development. And then you've got the parking area here. And then you've got the plan showing the ground floor of these six two-bed units. And then you've got the first floor plan of the dwellings. And you've got the elevational drawings of the you've got the Malting buildings and the proposed dwellings. And here we have the site photo of the site. You've got the entrance that's going to be proposed, that's going to be approximately here. This is the existing entrance to the site here. And this is the site to Quinney's at the back. Here we have the site photos from the street scene, and you've got the Maltings, and you've got the existing element here that's going to be demolished to facilitate the building. And this is the side elevation, and this is the existing landscaping that's to the back of the property. It's considered that the proposed development, this type of courtyard form development, is not found in this part of Maypole Road, and therefore the officer considers that the proposal is out of character and appearance of the area, and also because of the pattern and layout is considered out of keeping with the prevailing pattern of development in the vicinity. Also in the report, the car parking spaces within the courtyard fails to accord with the approved parking standards. This is discussed in the report, and therefore the officers recommend for a refusal as set out in the agenda. Thank you, Chairman.
Thank you. Ms. Brown, when you're ready, when you are, 2 minutes precisely from when you begin. Thank you.
This is a revised scheme which has been developed in response to local parish council and Mulder District Council following a previous refusal. Great Totten Parish Council have resubmitted their previous reasons for refusal based on the earlier scheme without reference to the new proposal. The key change is the retention of the historic asset, resulting in a proposal that enhances its setting whilst providing homes of a scale and character that has been identified as desirable by Wickham Bishops Parish Council, hence their recommendation for approval. This courtyard scheme provides much-needed two-bedroom cottages within a carefully considered layout. Attractive frontages that overlook shared space encourage neighbourliness and create a safe and attractive environment. While some have characterised the area as having large houses in large plots, this type of pattern could prove to be the village's undoing in terms of social sustainability. Many people would like to stay in the village once their families have grown up and they no longer need these larger homes. The form of the new cottages has been inspired by that of the historic barn and lean-to. This and the use of high-quality vernacular materials ensures that the new buildings are in keeping with their context. The cottages are lower in height than neighbouring properties and their ridgeline matches that of the garage building within the front garden of the property to the north of the site. The homes are fully accessible to wheelchair users with a ground floor bedroom and living space, allowing level access onto a secluded terrace. Maldon District Council have noted a need for larger car parking space and carports to align with their 2018 car parking space standards. This can be accommodated within the scheme, and if approved, it could be dealt with a pre-commencement condition that ensured that these standards were approved and adopted prior to any development. Maldon District Council also commented on the position of the bin store to the front of the site. This is a structure that has been designed to enclose the bins with the same high-quality materials as the rest of the site, preventing wheelie bins impacting negatively on the street scene.
Councillor Sisney, back to you. If you'd like to begin, you obviously don't have to.
Yeah, I have to say I don't have an enormous objection to this. I think it's sort of the second bite of the cherry. And can we just look at the slide that shows the architecture again? Yeah, I mean, it's difficult to get a perspective from these drawings, but I can understand how they are somewhat unsympathetic, at least from these drawings. Maybe it's just the drawings, maybe we need more of an artist's impression, I don't know. But it's tough, because I don't object to the concept of having, you know, having this area redeveloped in the way that it's being proposed. But the specifics of those drawings, I think I have a little bit of an objection to, and I guess that's part of the officer's objection too. Equally, this is the second this is the second proposal on this site. Do we have the drawings from the previous application or not? Just wondered whether this represents an improvement or not. Yeah, I mean, I'm interested to hear what other members of the committee say, because, as I say, I think hopefully this doesn't represent an improvement from the previous form. Maybe it needs one more round before it gets approved.
Councillor Ms. White.
Thank you, Madam Chairman. I mean, I have to say, I think this design is pretty awful, and I really do think they could have come up with something better. It's not very pleasing to the eye, particularly as the existing setting is very pretty. It's nice to look at. It's attractive. I also, my biggest problem, though, is with the car parking, because if these are aimed at elderly people, you're going to have carers and doctors and nurses coming in and out. And also elderly people need a lot of space to park, undo their car doors, get everything in and out. They've got Zimmer frames wheelchairs, I know, because my father recently passed away. And they've tried to fit a pint pot into a quart bottle, whichever way around it is. Yeah, pint pot is a quart pot. And there just isn't enough room for what they've proposed. And I do think they could have... It could be better. It's not specifically that we don't like it. I just think it's a really unpleasant design, and the parking isn't well enough thought out. I think the officers have got it spot on.
Councillor Bamford.
I think it's interesting that you've got two parish councils with slightly different views. I totally see that we do need two-bedroom properties in the area, which is in our local development plan. But I think, as other councillors have said, the design is the problem here and the lack of car parking. So I think the officers have got it right. But I would say that the parish council, Wickham Bishops, does say the density is out of keeping with the neighbouring properties. So they're sort of erring on the side of not liking it either. So, I would go with the officer's recommendation.
Councillor Mrs Channel.
Thank you, Madam Chairman. I'm not quite sure I saw enough detail about sustainability, whether it's in a sustainable location, because I'm not sure it is. And
there's an S1. S1 is in there, but I was going to ask about that, actually, in the development boundary.
Because I can see no I can see no detail of that within the report. And also, I think we've had a change, haven't we, in that we've now got a five-year housing land supply. And I do agree with comments by Councillor Miss White. This is the intentions for elderly people. And I know from my own particular ward, which actually did remove an elderly person's housing scheme from it. We had a dementia place allowed in Mayland, even though the council against it was, that was allowed on appeal. But the older person's housing was removed from that scheme. You do have to think about if it is predominantly for persons of a certain age, if it is an unsustainable location, how they would get around. And obviously there'd be a lot of car journeys if there were carers coming in or otherwise. So there would be reliance on the motor vehicle. Again, the design, I can see the intentions are well meant, but I'm afraid I'm not sure it all comes together.
Thank you, Jim. Paragraphs, most of section 5.1, but particularly 5.15 and 5.16 talk about the accessibility of the site. We acknowledge that nearby sites, Ravello and the other one for 14 houses, this is deemed to be an relatively accessible location, and so in that single aspect of the wider umbrella of sustainability, an objection isn't raised. We acknowledge the need for two-bed houses. That's in section 5.2. It's part of the local plan. We don't disagree with that, but that shouldn't be at costs of all other considerations, and in this case, it's the other matters. In terms of the parking, these are two-bed houses. There's no age restriction being recommended or imposed, so it could easily be occupied by any person, and so the parking doesn't specifically need to meet a requirement for a specific sector of the society. It can just be general parking standards.
I think if I might come back, just with it being a remote location, even if it's young families or a working couple, if it's a working couple, they're going to have two cars. And I just think it could be designed better with that in mind. That's the point I want to go across. It's not, building houses there. It's just badly done. I think it could be better.
Councillor Bass.
The two points of information I was going to raise have actually been answered by Mr. Harrison following that last question. But I think one of the aspects I'll mention, and I mentioned before, and that is that the reason Wickham Bishops Parish Council are in favour of this to a degree is the fact that it satisfies the needs of their emerging neighbourhood plan and their housing needs survey. But I think even they acknowledge
about the design and the density. And I tend to agree with Councillor Sismi again, which is quite unusual, that possibly, you know, we've established that there is to be some sort of development on this site, and perhaps the way forward would be to reduce the numbers or change the design. And I think possibly reducing the numbers would get over this problem of the parking. But, I mean, the sustainability issues there, if you go back to the original block plan, you can see, I mean, there's 14 houses to be built 100 across the road diagonally, 100 yards. Right at the beginning, I think, after the... the block plan, really. There, that's it. I mean, it does show where there is numerous development. I mean, admit they're all large houses within, totally surrounding this area. So the principle of development is agreed. It's just a question of, I think, what comes forward next, quite honestly.
I'm not entirely sure that the officers... Does the officers' report agree the principle of development? I just want a bit of clarity here, if possible. I didn't get that impression.
For you, Chair, in this case, we need to take sort of the widest possible view of sustainability in the round, and that whilst we're saying it's accessible in one respect, it is still development that's outside the settlement boundary. And so that is objectionable because it's contrary to the local plan.
I'm sorry to come back and labour this point about sustainability, because the officers claim, with all due respect, because it seems to be accessible, and I hear we've got buildings all around it, doesn't mean to say that's sustainable, because I can highlight a village I actually live in it that's not a sustainable location. It has a railway station. But all inspectors, looking at the arguments, have made the point it's far and remote from services, bus stops, etc., and the railway line, you have to walk to it. And normally reports on sustainability do give a degree of detail about where the bus stops might be or what's there. So perhaps the officer could tell us, bearing in mind it's meant to be a sustainable location, if that could be qualified, what we mean by accessibility. Because I take it to be, like Councillor Miss White's highlighted, by the motor vehicle predominantly. So what is the accessibility regarding that site in terms of those matters that are applied in the MPPF regarding one of the three functions of sustainability, which is about access and travel and what you have access to in terms of services and public transport?
Mr. Harrison.
Thank you, Chairman. The obviously, there's the three parts of sustainability: social, economic and environmental. We mostly assess the accessibility probably under social consideration, because it's the accessibility from a site to get into the services that it needs to function. In this respect, you're not far from Wickham Bishops and the 14 houses that have been approved at this site, and the one up at Ravello. Through that process, it has been accepted by the local planning authority that this is a reasonably accessible location. Obviously, since those decisions were made, we have had a five-year housing land supply. We have had the local plan adopted, so that is a shift. This is outside the settlement boundary. But in terms of accessibility, what was true then is still true now. And that if those developments were deemed to be sufficiently accessible, then officers aren't putting the case forward here to say that this is... that members could reach a different view, but the opinion of officers is that it wouldn't be reasonable to do so, given that we've supported 14 dwellings in a nearby site and a single dwelling at another site.
Everyone wants to come back. I'm looking to wrap this up fairly quickly. Who was quicker? Let's go for Councillor Bass. No, let's do the job properly. I've now got three hands up, then I'm going to finish. Councillor Bass, Councillor Sismi, Councillor Bamford.
I was just going to make on the comment about it being outside the settlement boundary. It's outside the area intended to be developed for Wickham Bishops, because it's actually in Great Totton. And it is 100 yards from Wickham Bishops Village Centre and about three-quarters of a mile from Great Totham's centre, if it has a centre. So that's why you've got this difference of viewpoint. But I just wanted to make that point, and I think that, you know, that is why there is this differing view. The property is within a settlement boundary, because there are houses all around it and opposite it and behind it. But it's outside the area intended for development, which is slightly different.
Okay, Councillor Sismi.
I was just going to say that the whole way that the sustainability proposition is applied is absurd anyway, because it suggests that people, it assumes that people don't want to live in villages, people do want to live in villages, people who live in towns, which are apparently very sustainable, still use their car to get around, and you know, actually you make villages more sustainable by actually growing them. which is a concept which apparently, you know, is never considered. So I think the whole way that sustainability is applied anyway is madness. But I think this is sustainable. I think, certainly from my perspective, I'm comfortable with this site being redeveloped. I don't think this has quite got that redevelopment right, that's all. And I think the developer should come back with another proposal.
Yeah. Councillor Bamford.
Thank you, Madam Chairman. This is totally different. This is just a question about 5.8 and Natural England's requirements for rams. Mm. You know, I know that they wouldn't give advice on this, so we've gone to the screening assessment and the appropriate assessment, test one and two. I just wondered, are these the only questions that you need to answer to assess this ourselves?
Through you, Chairman, fundamentally, yes. I'm sure rams will be discussed at other committees in more detail than what is probably necessary for tonight. The way we're interpreting it at this point is that we've got advice from Natural England which suggests that we should be seeking a financial contribution towards rams mitigation. No one's calculated what that figure is and how it's meant to be collected and what it's meant to be spent on in a manner that has been adopted by this council. So at this point, we're having to take the view that it hasn't been demonstrated and we haven't got an SPD at this point to back up an argument that a contribution is necessary or reasonable in this case to meet the tests of the SIL regulations. Those are the only questions that you have to answer as part of the Habitat Regs assessment at this time, but I think it's fair to say it will evolve as the RAMS SPD comes into effect.
There you go. So, members, I'm going to put the officer's recommendation to refuse. Those in favour? Those against? And Councillor Bass is abstaining, as he indicated. Thank you. So that is, in fact, refused in line with the officer's report. And that concludes the meeting. Thank you, everyone, for your attendance. And thanks to the officers. Close the meeting at 8:13.